Hey, it's the Body Bishops.
Well, Matt, it's been 3.5 minutes since we recorded the last episode.
Something like that. We're trying to catch up, aren't we? we're binge recording Body Bishops.
Yep.
Some people binge listen or binge watch. We binge record, don't we?
We binge record, man. Yeah, I'm trying to get back to where we were. Because we finished Third John there on Wednesday night, so we're a little bit behind on getting these out, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
So we're nearly at the end of the Gospel Community series in real time, so we want to get to the end of, in podcast time as well. So
it was funny, on Wednesday night in our home groups, I'd said to him, man, I can't believe the Gospel Community series is almost done. Almost a year we've been in it or something.
Yeah, it's quite a while.
And I said, I don't know what we're going to do whenever this ends, kind of jokingly. And Mandy actually said, we can just start back from the beginning again. And go through all over again. So just like lapping it up, you know, it's great. The whole church, we're just like enthralled in this Gospel
That's
Community
sweet,
teaching
man.
Stuff.
You know? Yeah, Karen was sharing that too. I think she was in your group and she's like, oh, I don't want it to end, you know, so it's lovely. I was just assuring her, like, whatever we do next, since it's such a big theme of scripture that we've come to, like, realize, man, this is in everything, then we're definitely not going to miss it. So,
we're
going to
keep
on.
We're going to
keep
looking for it,
So 1 John 4 then, and today we're going to look at the subject of the centrality of love to the whole universe and to the whole gospel and to the whole theology, the centrality of love.
So, of love.
Yeah, of love. Yeah. So we have gospel truth and gospel identity, and that is verse 4. Mm. What we got for us in verse 4?
Verse 4 is, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah, man.
So just lovely truths. I'm of God, I'm his child, I'm an overcomer, and I'm indwelt by God.
Precious,
that's enough. That's enough.
Speaking of the word central, yeah, that's central, isn't it?
It's amazing stuff, man. So these are truths that we take with us every day, these deep realities of who we are. And that is going to impact and speak into our life as an individual, which of course then which is our gospel practice, and then our relationships with one another, which is our gospel community. And that is verse 7 to verse 8. So, beloved, well, I've got the ESV. Is that all right?
I'll allow it.
Okay. Yeah. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Man, that was like two words different there. That's uncalled for.
Right on there. So, so beloved, which is saying we are objects of his love.
Isn't that precious?
Yeah.
Objects of his love. And he's going to continue using that. I don't know how many times he uses it in the epistle, but he keeps you in every chapter. It's like 4 or 5 times he uses the word beloved. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So you are beloved one. So love, verse 7a, you are beloved, right? Only receivers of such love can truly express such love. This love is impossible without being one who's caught up in the fact that they're loved by God.
That's great, man. Love, I mean, we said it in the last episode, and I don't want to be just monotonous, but it's informed. So it's not only empowered, but it's informed, you know. We love the way we've seen love given to us.
And then we're born of God, so only receivers of new life of Christ have the ability to love this way. So we're born, it tells that twice in verse 7 and in verse 9. It talks about being born of God. And it's this idea of, if we're born of God, then we are then able to love in this way.
And any love seen in our life is a product of the life of Christ alive in us through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's a good way to say it, yeah. And then knows God. So only those who truly know and experience God and his love every day can and will express this love to others every day. So it's, again, like we looked at, it's only as I bask that I'm able to pour.
That's it, right?
So I'm beloved, I'm born of God, and I know God. And how do you know that? Because you see me love you, and you see me love the brothers and sisters. And there you go.
Nice one, man.
Verse 8 gives us the contrast, however, in all of this. So
He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Yeah. So God is love. Mm. The essence of God, love is his essence, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So those born of him, those loved by him and who know him will display through this that same fragrance of love that he has.
Yeah.
So I've talked about my dear friend Jeannie up in Sunderland, mm-hmm. and I used to go and see Jeannie every Thursday for lunch and have a little nap on the sofa.
Yeah. Yeah.
she made me a cup of tea. And I would come out of her house, I would smell like I'd been in her house, you know, and that fragrance was on me. And I think you had a similar story, but I don't know if it was a good one or a bad one.
No, so. No, it was good. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Abby's doing this. She's rewriting Richard III, this Shakespeare play, mm. and it's fantastic. I recommend what she's doing. She just has a gift for it.
Mm.
But we had a reading of it together at her house, several of us, and we ordered chunky chicken.
Right.
Which is a local chicken joint here in Hanley. And so we had like peri peri chicken, all these different flavors and all that. And so we sat around reading whilst having the chicken.
Mm.
And I got back home later that evening and Amanda said, "Where have you been?" she knew that I'd been like around that, and I was around carrying that fragrance with me.
Yeah, man. So that's it. Like, so if I'm basking in this love of God,
yeah,
I know him, I'm close to him, I'm in proximity, then I'm going to smell like him, so mm-hmm. to speak. You're going to, man, you've been near Jesus today, right? Because mm-hmm. you're loving like he's loving. So that's the idea that we're seeing here in verse 7 to verse 8. We're going ahead to verse 9 to verse 12 to get some more gospel truth and gospel identity, mm-hmm. Which is verse 9 to 10 of that little section, actually. So
yeah. It says, "In this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him."
Yeah. Beautiful stuff, man. So,
so God revealed his love to us, sent Christ for us, and we are now alive in him.
Yeah.
He's shown us how to love.
Yeah, yeah. And verse 10, "And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." So when we didn't love God, God loved us.
Yeah.
And Jesus took God's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
God gave us his favor as a result of Jesus taking the wrath. So God shows us here not just how to love, but how to love the unlovely, which is us.
That's, right? Yeah, that's me. Yep.
Yeah. So then, taking that truth, I was unlovely and I didn't love,
mm-hmm.
and yet God loved me and did all this for me. So then that informs how I love my brothers and sisters, yeah. which is verse 11 to verse 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another."
Yeah.
Yeah. So since we're loved and God has shown us how to love and has given us new life and strength to love, then we should love. We should love that way because God has empowered us. He's given us new life. He's shown us how to love. So we have everything we need to display that love to others as well, as we've seen it from God.
Yeah. I love it, man. Verse 12, "No one has ever seen God." I love this verse. I love talking about it that night. I'm just remembering it all now. "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us."
Yeah.
So we haven't seen God, right? Mm-hmm. But why is John telling us that? He's saying, you haven't seen God, love one another. And you're like, what's he doing that for? So I love this thought, to be honest. Go for it, man. You get to tell it.
Man, anytime that I give or receive love with my brother and sister, I know for a fact that God is in our midst.
Isn't that awesome?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's a sacred thing to give and receive love.
Yeah.
Knowing that God himself is present, empowering and motivating us to do it.
And that's such a deep motivation. So I can't see him, but when I'm loved by my brother,
mm-hmm.
I'm experiencing his love. It. And when you see brothers and sisters love one another in community, you're seeing God's love, even though you can't see God.
Mm.
The evidence of him being right there is all around you as you're watching brothers and sisters love one another.
He's tangibly with us through our acts of giving and receiving love.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because we can't see him.
Yeah.
There's nothing tangible about God and his, God in our sight.
Yeah.
You know, him being in our physical presence. Well, he's not physically here, but he is physically here at the same time through our acts of giving and receiving love from one another.
So that old hymn, "You ask me how I know he lives within my heart." you can go further with that, and it's like, according to this verse, it's like, how I know he lives in me is, and in you, is because of this love that we're sharing with one another, you know? That's what this verse is telling me. I haven't seen him, but I'm experiencing it. And then it talks about his love being perfected in me, or in us, and it's being, that's that idea of being complete.
Yeah.
One of the purposes for God's love for us is that we would love one another like he loves us.
Yeah.
When I love my brothers and sisters like he loves me, I'm completing the purpose of his love for us.
It's really good. It's like a so in electricity, there's circuits. So when the circuit's unbroken, it stops. You know, but when you've made a circuit, it means you've made a complete circle.
Yeah.
And it's all feeding back into one
That's
another.
That's good, man. Yeah. I'm receiving from the electric board.
Yeah.
And then there's a full circuit that's able to just transmute that across the whole house. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I'm not loving my brother or sister, the circuit's incomplete.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm breaking the circuit.
Yeah.
So not only did God give us his love to bring us to himself, that's half the purpose of his love. The other half is that we who have become receivers of such love would then also become givers of such love.
Mm.
Then the purpose of God's love for us is completed. So we've that vertical relationship vertical and that horizontal relationship. Yeah. That completes the love, which is what it means by saying his love is perfected in us.
You know, it may be a coincidence, but I think it's beautiful that we keep talking about the vertical and horizontal, because I think there's this visual image that I'm given when I think of vertical and horizontal.
Yeah.
It makes a cross, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Vertical and horizontal. But yeah. it's just me. Maybe I'm just simple.
That's good, man. So, anytime I know I'm truly loving my brother, I can be assured that God is active in me and through me.
Mm.
And then when I give a receiver of such love with a brother and sister in Christ, when I am a giver, a receiver of such love with a brother and sister in Christ, the staggering reality, like you just said, is the creator of heaven and earth is right there in our midst.
That's incredible.
So the invisible God is experienced as a deeply vivid reality in our lives when we experience such love together in gospel community. That's verse 12, man.
That makes me want to go deeper and deeper and deeper into this thing, you know? That makes me want to cultivate loving relationships with people that I've not cultivated loving relationships with.
Yeah.
That makes me want to find the misfit and the seemingly unlovable person in the congregation that everyone is fleeing from because maybe their personality is different from theirs.
Yeah.
And just, like, go into a deep and meaningful relationship with that person.
Yeah, let's love Samuel better than we've been doing.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, he's the worst, isn't he?
So God loves us so much. He hasn't just forgiven us. He's brought us in. And he hasn't just brought us in. He has put his love in us and called us to express this love out of us so that we can enjoy the wonders of being loved by him and by each other. Like, this idea of loving one another, it's like, it's not a grievous, it's a beautiful, once we live this out, it's so, you can't not want this once you've experienced it.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can't not want this.
Yeah.
I really believe that. I really believe that the Holy Spirit will produce, when we hear things like this and we read things like we read this morning, this book we're reading, I think that the Holy Spirit will stir up in us just this like desire and this acknowledgement of, oh yeah, I need that.
Yeah.
You know, not just I want to do it, but I need that.
Desperate hunger for this stuff.
Yeah. I really believe that.
Yeah. So again, when I love my brother or sister, when I greet them with warmth, when I treat them with affection, when I forgive them and serve them, when I do all this one another stuff, I'm telling them, you're loved by God.
Mm.
And they're telling me, you're loved by God.
Yeah.
So this is really big stuff that we do this. I'm a messenger of the love of God to my brother or my sister when I live out this one another stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so the love of God is in our midst in that moment then.
So we talked about being channels of God's love, didn't we?
Mm.
And I think that's an important picture, is that God pours his love into, and again, this is kind of what we were talking about last time, he pours his love into us so that we'll just let that love flow through us in the lives of those in community.
Yeah. Yeah, and so through being a channel of God's love, you said this, this was your thoughts that week. Remember, we were just blown away by this. But someone could have been staggered by the presence of Jesus this week through your love.
Yeah.
And yet through your neglect of these community principles, they and you failed to experience the real present love of God.
Mm.
That's what you forfeit when you say, I'll stay on the fringes. I'll see you Sunday. That's what you forfeit. The fact that you and they could have been staggered by the presence of God.
Listen, if that's true, that's enormous.
Yeah.
That's enormous if that's, and it is, because God says it in his word.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just reinforces to me, like, what we've read, Paul Tripp and others have said, like, independence is a myth.
Yeah.
So it's just incredible to think about that I can, my neglect of being around other people can, who love Christ and want to give love to me, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can affect negatively my walk with Jesus.
Yeah, that's the New Testament principles. Yeah. It's not see you Sunday. It's not Jesus and me. Yeah, it's life on life together.
And additionally, I can keep my brother from growing in Christ
if
I'm not being that source of love.
Yeah, yeah.
Allowing him to see God at work in me.
Yeah, that's it's witty. So yeah, not only are you not entering into life and joy for yourself, you're foregoing an opportunity to perfect God's love in you and through you.
Yeah.
So when we fail to enter in, when we don't love, when we don't do the one another, and we've been talking about it all year, we are forfeiting joy. We're denying ourselves and others of amazing privileges, and we're rejecting beautiful experiences we could have shared together. So this is really fundamental stuff. This is the centrality of this love.
It's fundamental to being a New Testament Christian.
Yeah. So the next little section, verse 13 to 21, gospel truth and gospel identity is found in verse 13 to 19.
Right. Yeah, so verse 13 says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit."
Yeah.
So the point is, we live in God, God lives in us, we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is passionately active about making verse number 12 a reality in each of us. So the thing that was staggered us just a moment, the good thing is that we don't have to try to do it on our own.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is present and empowering us to do it.
Yeah, that's good. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So that's it. I confess Christ, I'm brought in. I'm brought in, I begin to love. Mm. Simple stuff.
Yeah. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him.
Yeah.
So when we confess Christ, we are confessing that we are loved by God, which is beautiful. We're now intimately connected to the source of love.
Yeah.
So it's not, so again, if the Holy Spirit's empowering us and we're connected, it's just incredible, because there's where the whole, there's where the source is. I was just thinking of a phrase that my IFB friends back in the States used to always use. Under the spout where the glory comes out.
There you go, man.
You know, but just the idea of, in terms of not just glory, but my Christian life, you know, right underneath the tap, it's like, you know, mouth open like a little baby bird waiting to be fed by mother bird. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And when I'm connected to the source, what's going to begin to happen, you know, you're going to begin to see that in my life.
It'll be tangible,
Verse 17, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is also, so are we in the world. So the purpose of God is for love to be completed in us, as we saw, that we would grow in this love for one another more and more, to such a point that our love for one another echoes the love of the Trinity between one another and the Trinity toward us. Mm. As he exists in love, we are like him in this love. And if we see this love coming out of us, even if it's at times a trickle, we can be assured that we're of God. And we have no reason to fear coming judgment. Instead, we have confidence about eternity, because this love is a reality. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, fear of judgment, fear of punishment. Mm-hmm. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So that's how central love is. It's like, am I loving my brothers and sisters? That's evidence that God is alive in
me. Yeah. I think it's a good shout as well, that if the type of community that we're experiencing is evoking feelings of fear, in people around us, where they're afraid of opening up, where they're afraid of asking for prayer, where they're afraid of asking for help.
Yeah.
I think there's something wrong in our relationship with the Lord if we're creating that culture.
Yeah. Or obeying out of fear as well. Yeah.
Doing the right
things, but out of a fearful mindset rather than this reverential, deep love.
Yeah.
So we get then gospel practice and community to finish off in verse 19 to 21. We love because he first loved us, verse 19. Mm-hmm. He is our example, he's our motivation, and he's our strength.
Yeah, to very love. Simple. Yeah. Verse number 20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. What do you really think, John? What's really on your mind here? For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?
Yeah.
So someone who professes Christ and then professes love for God, who then continues in a lifestyle of hate toward others, what does that tell us about him?
Well, it's two things. Either, number one, they're likely not in Christ. They're not actually in him. So they profess him, but they're not connected. They're not in Christ. So he's the source of love, and yet there's no love in them. So their claim to know God is false. That's one alternative, one option. And the alternative is, or at the very least, they're not abiding in Christ as believers, because he's the source of love. So their claim to be close to Christ is false. So they're either not in Christ, or they're in Christ, but they're not close to Christ. So how can I say I love God and then live in active hatred towards the ones that he loves?
Exactly. Yeah. Objects of Christ's love. That's who they are.
Yeah.
So how can I not treat them that way?
Yeah. So your failure to love them is an evidence that either you have no relationship with God whatsoever, or you're not walking in intimate fellowship with him as his child.
That's what John says.
Yeah. You're either not his child, or you're not in an intimate relationship with him as the Father. So
he sums it all up in verse 21, doesn't he? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also.
Yeah.
So again, the one commandment, which is love God, love your neighbor.
Yeah.
The law hangs on this. Jesus actually said that. On this, all of the law and prophets hang.
Yeah.
And the teachings of Jesus hang on this as well. He said so much, didn't he? In John 13, I read that this morning. He says, by this will everyone know that you're my disciple if you have love for one another.
Yeah.
So love God, love one another.
Yeah.
It's the commandment.
Yeah. So that's chapter 4. According to this chapter, if we don't take the one anothering seriously, we're living as if we're not loved of God. We're as if we're not alive in him, as if we don't know him, and as if we're not indwelt by him. We're neglecting the work of the Spirit, what he wants to do in us. We're forfeiting the joys God means for us to experience together. We forsake the very purpose God has for us. We're not confessing Christ with our lives. We're not actually loving God. We're living as spiritual paupers instead of spiritually rich people. And we eat crumbs instead of sharing the banquet together. So, beloved, those connected to the source of life and love, those indwelt by the source of life and love, love one another.
That's really good. Again, it comes full circle, doesn't it? They're objects of Christ's love. I just want to read something that we read today, just in this book, You're Not Crazy, which we recommend, from Ray Ortland and Sam Alberry, Gospel Sanity for Weary Churches. But on page 65, here's what it says. It's referring to how we view ourselves and how we view other believers. It says, you haven't defeated God's grace, which is a wonderful reminder on days when we're not, quote-unquote, performing well as a Christian. And if his excellent grace has reached even you, then every other Christian you know stands within the same circle of grace you stand in.
Good, man. Yeah.
So if I view my brothers and sisters as receivers of God's grace, but objects of Christ's love, to the same degree that I view myself, that will change the way that I treat them.
Yeah. I'm an object of love. You're an object of love. God is alive in us to accomplish this love through us to one another. That's going to inform and impact our relationships.
Yeah, and I think it'll unlock the how necessary we see giving and receiving love as well. They're objects of Christ's love. Equally, I'm an object of Christ's love. So we're both qualified to be receivers and givers of love.
Yeah. So that's the centrality of love. Love is central to God, to his commands for us, to his very purposes for us, to what Christ has done for us. So we ought to love one another, it says. May that be true.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Baldy Bishops Podcast.
If you wish to get a hold of us, you can contact us at baldybishops@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram.
Hey,
do you want to go get it? Okay.
That sounds great. Let's go.